Okay, that makes okay, so I share the screen as usual, and I start from the point I stopped yesterday. So on this formal description of so we are part three, okay, and on something which is called mean field control. Okay, and where so well the goal is to minimize the functional depending on a lot of particles. So here n is a fixed and large integer, and we have capital N particles, and we want to minimize over all the controls, so there are capital N controls, quantity of the form. The expectation over a finite time horizon 0t to fix the IDs of 1 over n, the sum for I equal 1 to n. So we average over the particles of the price we pay to move a particle, which is the usual kinetic cost, plus some function depending on time, on the position of the particle, I, and on its so somehow on the interaction between the position of the particle I and the empirical measure of the other particles. And this is dt, and you are. And I remind you that xi is given by xi is an Itô process with drift alpha I. So I could put something more complicated here, but this let's do it like that for to simplify. And there is a Brownian motion, which is called idiosyncratic, meaning that it depends. These Brownian motions are all independent. Okay, and we could add some common noise. So I put it in parentheses because I will make some comment about that, but not too much. Okay, so this common noise, if you think about Xi as being the position of a drone in a drone swarm, okay, then W could be the wind which affects all the drones at the same time and the same space. You could have some diffusivity term which depends on Xi also, but let's do it like that to simplify. And for a reason which will appear in a moment when I will talk about mean field limit, it's usually assumed that the initial condition are IID random variables. So Zi, so let me remind you that these also are IID Brownian motions, okay, and Zi are IID. So, and we want to understand what's going on for this problem as capital N goes to infinity. Because in general, when capital N is large, it's extremely difficult to control all the particles individually, okay, and we would like to understand how to do that in a more generic way, okay. And we will see that it's even more crucial when we play with gain. So instead of mean field control, playing with mean field gain. Okay, well, it's really mandatory to try to understand what's going on when n goes to infinity. So let me give you some heuristics and explain why this heuristics is really stupid. So the simplest thing to, I mean, if you want to simplify a lot the stuff, we can assume that the alpha I are IID themselves. Okay. So there are IID processes. Then, in this way, the system is completely decoupled here. So this implies that the XI are also IID. Okay. Because they involve only IID quantity. So here, I forgot to say that I'm working without common noise. I will explain later on what is happening with the common noise. Okay, so if there is no W, okay, the Xi become Rid, if the alpha I are Rid. So if they are completely decoupled, then the Xi are also completely decoupled. Okay, and so what we know from the law of large number, so remember the Glidenko law of large number, we know that this guy, so the M, the empirical measure now, yeah, so I'm told that my internet connection is a little bit unstable, so please warn me if there is an issue.
So everything is fine right now.
Okay, let's cross the finger. What we expect is that this guy, so behaves exactly, so it's in fact as n goes to infinity, it behaves exactly like the law of any of the particles. Okay? So let's, to fix the ID, let me call it. So I forget to say that here I is one of the particles, so it's one, belongs to one n. So this behaves like, for instance, the first particle. Okay? But if this is the case, the optimal control we have to solve becomes much easier because it involves only, so now this guy is the law of X1, so for player for the particle one, so now alpha phi are, have the same law, so when you take the equation of the sum, it's just like taking the integral over 0, 1 to t of alpha 1 of t, and these guys have the behave exactly in the same way. Okay, so at the limit, so at the limit as n goes to infinity, the system becomes just the problem becomes the minimum, I write a minimum, but in general, it's just an infimum over, let's say, the control alpha one of the expectation of the integral between zero and t of the cost to play the control alpha one plus the interaction cost between the particle x1 and the empirical measure of the whole particle, the other particles, but this empirical measure is just what I wrote here, the law of X1 of T.
So the one half is missing above in the general formula.
All right, I don't know. Okay, I usually write one half and I forget it one time or two. So when I will write also the PDEs, you'll forgive me about not writing the one half in front of the ITOS formula. I forget one time or two. Okay, and the constraint, okay, over the thanks. And the constraint of X1 is the same as before.
Pierre, I have a question about the law of that X. If you take the empirical measure, does it not converge to the expected value if N is?
No. It's the empirical measure. So it's a random measure. Okay, and the Glidenko law of large number tells us, which is a generalization of the law of large number, the Glidenko law of large number tells us that this random measure converges to the law of any of the particles. Okay, so this.
Ah, okay. This was from before. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so this for fixed t, the xi of tr independent random variable with the same law, okay, and the Bibenco law of large number tells us that the law converges to the law of any of these guys. So typically the law of x1 of t. Okay. Okay, so this is heuristics. Now there is an assumption here which is relatively stupid, which is to say which is to say that the alpha I are independent. Why should they be independent? Whereas in fact the systems involve interaction between alpha I and all the other guys. Okay, so this makes no sense. So in principle, what we should expect, so from classical control theory, is that the alpha I are not independent, but they cannot, but they can be found in feedback form. So let me say it again. The fact that the alpha I are independent makes no sense in this optimal control problem where you have plenty of interaction. So you should expect that the optimal control should depend on the other particles, so they should not be independent. So in order to replace this, what we should expect is that, so this is a classical control theory, which says that the particle, the alpha I should depend, one expects, that the particle should depend, the optimal control should depend on time and on the position of all the other particles. It should be something which depends, so a priori it should depend on I, on the time, on the position of particle I, and on the position of the other particles. Okay, so let me say it like that. So this is called an optimal control in feedback form in the optimal control literature. Or in Markovian form, in more probabilistic terms. Okay, but in fact, it's more than that. As you have seen above, this optimal control problem is very, very much symmetric in the sense that the role of particle I basically plays the same role as the particle j. Okay, the only difference is that the initial condition should be different. Okay, but that's all. So because of the symmetry, in fact, the feedback form should be a little bit different. And so here the symmetry of the problem should, so again, it's very heuristic, huh? But by the symmetry of the problem, in fact, the control should not be depending on alpha I of all the particles like that, but somehow on alpha I, on the position of the ith particle, and on by symmetry, if you remember, symmetric function of n variable should depend on the empirical measure of the variable. Okay? Some kind of function like that. So in principle, minimizing over all the controls could be reduced, and one can prove that this is the case, could be reduced to functions like that, and under suitable assumption, and here it's satisfied, this function is relatively smooth. Okay, but of course it depends on n, so I'm sorry, there is no I. Okay, so in fact they should play, all particles should be should have the same control feedback control. Okay, but this control depends on the position of the particle itself, and because for particle I, there is a specific role of the position of the particle I, of course. Okay. and the empirical measure of the other particles. Okay, so this leads us to try to understand what's going on to the system, to our stochastic differential equation, when we replace the alpha at by some function like that, and try to understand what's going on when the number of particles go to infinity. So here, let me make some warning, which is that the alpha bar, of course, depends on the number of particles a priori. So it depends on, should depend on n, but I won't write it for simplicity, okay? And so now we are led to understand what's going on if one replace, so if instead of making the assumption that the alpha I are independent, one makes the assumption that alpha I is of this form, okay? So instead of alpha I, one has this, okay? And this leads to an analysis of what is called mean field limit that I will discuss now to better understand what's going on as the limit goes to infinity. So I'm going now so before going to the rigorous part, let me finally comment about what happens for the common noise case, which is important in practice. So this is the reason why I'm talking about that. So before that, do you have any question on that part, on that first heuristic part? So what we will prove in the end is that indeed the limit system is this. Okay. We derive this system under the very strong assumption that the alpha I are independent, which is not the case a priori, except that we should expect that it's like that. So, and we will discuss about what is called the mean field limit when you have systems of this form and n is large. So before proceeding, let me say a few words about what happens when you have a common noise. When you have a common noise and the alpha I are independent, it's not like true that the xi are independent, of course, because they are all linked by the common noise. Okay, so the common noise is W, is this one. But what is true is that the xi are independent given W. And so what we should look at is what is true is that in the end, by the kind of generalization of the law of large number, the empirical measure is given by the law of x1 of t, one of the particles, given the common noise. So it's at the end, so at the limit, it's still random. It depends on the noise generated by W. Okay, so it should be the law of x1 of t given W. Okay, and everything works in the same way, except that there is this conditional expectation given W, okay. And the limit system should also involve W, okay. And here, again, the main difference is that you should replace the law of X1 by the law of X1 given W. And in this case, what one expects is that the feedback control should also depend, should be random and depend on W. I stop on that point. So it's an important question, the case of common noise, but it makes things much, much more intricate. So I won't discuss too much about that. Okay, so now we move to the to more rigorous math and study a little bit what is called the mean field limit of a particle system. So here I will introduce a mean field limit of particle system without control. Okay, then we will see the limit. We will try to understand better the limit of the problem, minimization problem we have facing so far. And then we will write the necessary condition for this system. Okay, so this will be the three parts and probably will take up to tomorrow to complete this program. Okay, so first part in the story, we will do some classical mean field limit. So I apologize for those who know that very well, but in fact, it's a way, I mean, for the other, it's a way to understand what's going on. So there is no way I can pass this step. Okay, so before starting with the midfield limit, I know that some of you are aware of Itô processes, but not too much about stochastic differential equations. So let me say a few words about classical stochastic, standard stochastic differential equations, the Cauchy-Lipschitz theory. So SDE stands for stochastic differential equation. Okay, so we look at a classic stochastic differential equation is in general of the form dxt. So x is a continuous process, and we look at the variation. So I will write this correctly in a moment, which is equal to some drift, which depends on xt, and some volatility apply to a Brownian motion. So if you forget about the sigma equals zero, you've got an ordinary differential equation, and I'm just writing that x dot is equal to b of tx, okay, and I'm trying to solve this equation. Now, what is new here compared to what perhaps you know, what certainly you know already, is the fact that you have this Itô term, okay, so this random term, okay, which says that the x is perturbed by some noise which is moving very fast as a Brownian motion. Okay, and you have an initial condition x naught, which is equal to x some x naught, and this is given, and this is a given point in Hertz. Okay, so the meaning of this equation, so some technical linked SDE. So I'm going to make some assumption, but typically, what is the solution of that? So this is a process XT. Which has continuous paths. Which is adapted to the filtration generated by the Brownian motion. So let me remind you that this filtration, I called it FT, and which has some integrability property, so which is such that, let's say, to fix the ID, it's integral. So I'm going to make some assumption on B and S, and this assumption will ensure that X T is square root integrable. And the meaning of the equation is precisely the following. So you have to understand the equation in integral form. So this is also one capital T. And you have to understand the equation in the integral form like that. So and this must be true for me. Okay, so this is a usual Itô integral, and here you have the drift bar. Okay. So what do we know about this kind of equation? Well, you have a kind of Cauchy-Lipschitz theory in the sense that, so I'm going to make the assumption that B and sigma are Lipschitz continuous. So B is a map which goes from 0 to E. And for simplicity, I'm going to assume that it is deterministic. But it could be random, and the adaptation to random coefficients is not much more difficult. But here, let's simplify a little bit and assume that it is completely deterministic. I'm going to assume that it is globally Lipschitz continuous. Also, it's not necessary. The Lipschitz continuity in time is not necessary. Okay, so B is a vector field, okay, which is assumed to be Lipschitz, and sigma also. So sigma, so let's say that B is a d-dimensional Brownian motion, okay. And then sigma, let's say it goes, so to make my life simpler, square matrix, I mean, if B was of dimension M, it should be not a square matrix, but a matrix of size N times something like that. And I'm also assuming that it's Lipschitz. But again, as in the Cauchy-Lipschitz theory, the Lipschitz continuity in time plays no role, and you could assume that it's L1 in time and Lipschitz in space with some uniformity with respect to the Lipschitz constant, with respect to time. And you have a classical Cauchy-Lipschitz theorem. Which says that there exists a unique solution to the stochastic differential equation. So this one, if you know the Cauchy-Lipschitz theory, it's a very good exercise to prove that you have a unique solution to the stochastic differential equation. Also, it's not straightforward. So you can find that in any standard book of stochastic calculus. And another point which I will use, and which is much more involved to prove, is the fact that this solution is unique in law. So what this means, it means that if even if you change your Brownian motion and your filtration, okay, you get a process which has the same law as the law given by which has the same law, okay? So this part is relatively easy. It's really the Cauchy-Lipschitz theory. The uniqueness in law is much more involved. I won't discuss about that. Okay, so I guess most of you know about this theory, so let me just give you an example, which is called the geometric Brownian motion, which plays a role in the Black-Scholes theory. So if you want to solve dxt, so now d equal 1. In this case, the unique solution is given by xt equal x naught exponential of another number, mu minus a half of sigma square, I guess, t minus sigma. I hope I didn't, I'm not making a, I think it's okay. So you can see as an exercise, okay? Okay, so now after recalling this basic fact, let us look at particle systems. So what we had in this introduction was a particle system. Okay, so I've got capital N particles. And the position of one of the particle, I take any I between 0 and N, and the position of any I, the position of a particle at time t is called xi of t. And it solves the stochastic differential equation, which couples all the particles. So now the B is a drift as before. So it depends on time, on the position of the particles, and in a symmetric way, on the position of all the other particles. So if you remember what we said about symmetric function of many variables, the simplest way to write that, to express that, is to assume that it depends on the empirical measure of all the particles. And you could have the same with sigma, okay? But I forget about the sigma. So in the rest of the lecture, I just do as if sigma was the identity. Okay, so I forget about the sigma, but you could have exactly the same kind of dependence. And in this system, so as I explained a little bit in the heuristic argument, in this system, it's usually very convenient to assume that the initial conditions are independent and identically distributed. So, because then somehow this makes the system, if there was no interaction, then the system would be independent and identically distributed. So one calls one calls this assumption a chaotic assumption. We assume that at the beginning, the particles are independent and with the same law. Okay, and what we would like to see is the fact that it still holds true, almost holds true, as t goes to as time is positive, when as soon as n is large enough. Okay, so there is a small difference. This system is almost of the form of the one I presented before, except that the dimension now is large. It's now the system is in R d times n. Okay, so it's a big system, and the only small difference is the fact that the initial condition is random. Well, here it was deterministic, but here if I took x naught random and in L2 and independent of the Brownian motion, then the theory works also. Okay, so you have, so it's an exercise to show that. So before I say the exercise, let me put the assumption on B. So I'm assuming that B goes from 0 t times Rd, so you see there is this dependency in Rd, times the probability, the Wasserstein space P2 on Rd, and this is a vector field. And I'm assuming it's Lipschitz in all variables. So EXO exercise show that I forgot to do the assumption on the ZI. So, and ZI is in L2. OK, Okay, so they're independent. So when I say ID, okay, I mean that they are ID. So they're independent. So the brain and motion are independent, okay, and the ZI are independent also of the brain and motion. Okay, so all these random variables are independent. Okay, and I'm assuming in addition that the ZI are in L2. So the exercise is to show that there exists a unique solution. So let me... to the particle system, so let me call PS the particle system. So this is PS. So the Cauchy-Lipschitz theory. Okay, so just one word. So what we have to prove in order to use Cauchy-Lipschitz theory is that the resulting particle system, okay, is Lipschitz continuous, and the Lipschitz continuity is ensured by the Lipschitz continuity of B with respect to the Wasserstein space. Okay, so so as a preliminary result, you can check that. So you need to check, you need to use, and this is something we're going to use later on, that how to compute the empirical, the distance between two empirical measures. So let x, we call x1, xn, be n-tupled in Rd, and y also, another n-tuple in Rd. And a simple exercise is to show that this distance can be, so to square, let's say, can be controlled by the sum for r equal 1 to n. The distance between xi to yi to the square. So if you want to prove this, okay, by using Cauchy-Lipschitz theory, at some point you will need to use this kind of inequality. And it's also for any x and y. Okay, so now we introduce the particle system, and the question is, what's going on when n goes to infinity? Okay, this is exactly the same question we raised for the optimal control problem of Crode. Okay, but in this optimal control problem, we have an optimization in addition. So here, there is no optimization. Okay, and we want to understand what's going on as n goes to infinity. Okay, to understand what's going on, let's look at the system and let's try to make the same empirical argument as we did before. So the idea was assume that these guys are independent and the MN of xt behave exactly as the law of one of the particles. So what we should expect at the end is that we could be replace this empirical measure by the law of any of the particles, that is the law, for instance, here to to make things simpler, of particle I. Okay. So if you do that, so you've got a system which is for each I, so let's say for I equal one, this is a system which is complete. So it's you look at the system which satisfies d x1t equal b of t x1t, the law of x1t dt plus b1t. Okay, so if you have sigma, it would work in the same way. Okay. And this system where the coefficient depend on the law of the particle is called the Macklin-Glasov equation. So the limit is the Macklin-Glasov equation. That I write and then we stop here. So let me write it for a generic particle. So you get a stochastic differential equation where the particularity is that in contrast to what we wrote before, here you involve the law of the particle. Okay? And after the break, we'll discuss a little bit about this equation and why the particle system is expected to converge to such stochastic differential equation. Okay. I think it's time to stop.
Yes, thank you very much for this first part. So are there some questions from the audience that would put immediately to the first part? If not, then we would resume in 15 minutes.